sure. What about expansion? Let's take it up to the present. Has that had a big effect on the quality of play?
Well, there's no question about that. What made expansions possible was the colored ball players the first time. That was handled well. The second one was a little bit tougher. There was the South American ball players, Cuban ball players. Well, there wasn't that many of them. So that expansion was a little bit tougher.
Yeah.
Now they're talking about the third expansion. I don't know where they're going to get them from. I watched the ball game last year, and two first-string catchers, and both of them hitting under 200.
Yeah,
now,
that's right.
They need 50. They're talking about two clubs. They need 100 ball players for two clubs, because each position is going to take two men to fill. So there is not 100 ball players available.
But they're going to expand two more teams at least, without a doubt, in the next 2 years.
Well, you know, the National League is probably handled a lot better than the American League has.
Yeah, but I think they're the ones that are going to have to expand.
And let's say that they're probably going to expand basically because of the political purposes.
In good part.
If they want to stay within certain benefits of the government.
Yeah.
The other thing is that they possibly may be able to do this by going back to the 21 or 20 player limit and taking four players off of each club and getting a nucleus in that fashion.
Yeah, that's right.
But they must come up with a nucleus, and there's no way I can see now. They can't go into the colleges and get the nucleus, because in baseball, you can't come out of the college.
There's
a very few merits.
Yeah, Frank,
we're going back,
going
back a long way.
What about the attitude of players these days compared to your day?
Well, I was in a different era, so that's a hard thing to really get to, other than to say I was in a depression area. In a depression area, regardless of what field you was in, whether you were in teaching, whether you were a carpenter, regardless of what field you were in, you worked hard, because what were you going to do if you lost your job?
Yeah.
So I would say that attitude is a big thing. Except for, now I broke in Pete Rose. Pete had that good attitude when he started
going.
The word go. So you can see the attitude. It's there.
Yeah. Yeah. Another part of the attitude, I think, is that with all these enormous salaries, most of the ball players are now as concerned about their business deals as they are about playing ball.
Well, you can go back 50 years in your own life, and I can too, and that was an expression of he's making so much money, don't know how to handle it. And we can go back and talk about boxers who were making the big money, that could not handle that money at that time.
Lots of.
So, you've got that situation.
What about travel in your day by train?
Well, I think that's when we had an edge. We'd usually pull out. We were operating at that time, out of Cincinnati, which is the middle of the country of the plus, say between St. Louis and New York. Where today you got California, and changes the game a little bit. But we'd normally pull out at midnight, get a good night's sleep. And pull in at 8 and get up and go to the hotel and have breakfast. Today they play a game, they leave after the game. They leave the airport, midnight games now.
Yeah.
They leave the airport anywhere from 1 to 2 o'clock in the morning. They pull in at anywhere from 3 to 6. You don't have that.
Then they try to play during the day.
That's
not easy.
And not when you're in good physical condition.
Mm-hmm.
You train to get in good physical condition, and you travel to get out of it. That's about the way it's working right now. But I think we got, I think we got more rest.
Yeah, you did, and I think there was more, I don't know, I think the players were more together. They talked baseball more among themselves. Than
That's all. We ran together. You ran with your roommate.
Sure.
You stayed with your roommate.
Yeah.
And you knew where your roommate was. He knew where you were.
Yeah.
The manager knew where the practice. We had a few, you know.
Like
a Hack Wilson or something like that. Yeah, there was a couple around. But the other thing I think is that we had also, we had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I don't think they had any fun.
We had a lot of fun playing ball. We actually had a fun game.
Yeah.
And we were serious, and I saw the fights and all the arguments and so forth. But that was because of desire and willingness, and or somebody's loafing or something like that, and you was told.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I'd say it was a fun game.
Yeah. I get the distinct impression that it's not nearly that same kind of fun game now, although it exists, and there are players that get a lot of fun out of the game, but they're...
Not on the overall.
Not on the overall, no. No, you're right. Do you think of any real funny incidents or happenings on or off the field? Involving any of your teammates or yourself?
Well, I was pitching a game one day in St. Louis, and Pepper Martin was on third base. He was, you know, a great base runner, great hustler. He was type of ball player.
Yes.
And he's prancing up and down. And I cut one loose, and also being known as a little wild, and the ball's outside, and Lombardi just reached out there, and the big hand of his and caught that ball barehanded and threw it back to me, and on the next pitch, it was two strikes at the time, on the next pitch, he popped up and the inning was over, and I came back into the bench and I says to him, listen, Lom, if you don't start rubbing, after catch me barehanded, the old man's going to take me out of there and think I'm losing my stuff, so at least rub your hand a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, there was a lot of funny incidents, I guess, that everybody went through, and that was one of my experiences of it. You know, I haven't seen a catcher reach out with his bare hand yet.
I haven't seen a first baseman do it, but Charlie Grimm used to do it frequently,
right.
And he told me about the pitcher that was really zoomed a pickoff throw over to him one time with all he had on it, and it was wild, and Charlie just reached out barehanded and caught it, and the pitcher got mad at hell. He says, my God, you're showing me up, catching my best pitch with your bare hand.
We had a pitcher on the club one time, in Red Bart, and he kept crossing Lombardi up all the time. You know, catchers don't like that.
No.
I don't blame him.
No.
And he just went out there and told Bart, he says, now, from now on, the rest of the game, he says, we got no signs, so any damn thing you want.
All right, now, Judge Landis was still in power when you broke in a few years thereafter. How would you compare him with the commissioners that have followed him?
Well, Judge Landis was kind of like Babe Ruth. He's one that comes along every 100 years. He had been a Supreme Court judge, and he came in the game to straighten out the players from gambling, and he did it.
He did it.
And he also straightened out a bunch of owners. I think Happy Chandler was a good commissioner.
Better than most people think.
Happy, if you speak to the players, Happy got put out because he put the World Series money in escrow. That's why Happy was actually probably put out when the players started forming their union. They wanted a cut of it.
Uh-huh.
And that money was put in escrow and held that money, and this is what the owners didn't like, so they put Happy out. Happy was a great commissioner as far as ball players was concerned. I think the commissioner who just left went through a different era of most any other commissioner.
Yeah, he did.
And I thought he did a good job, and I'm sure that the owners know he did a good job.
They do.
Once they got him out and tried to replace him, he was a very knowledgeable individual who had no color.
That's right.
No color.
Yeah.
And he basically, I think, during that strike, he handled that very, very good. He handled that very good. That was an owner's situation to settle, and that was not a commissioner's voice to say, listen, we're going to play ball with what your owners do or what your players do.
Yeah.
I thought he handled that part of it very good. It was probably one of the most serious things that a commissioner had to do since beginning this, and since 1918. I think they were the two big decisions.
Yeah. I'm up to Kuhn over in, after I retired in Notre Dame, I took a job as executive director of foundation, private foundation in the Dominican Republic for 3 years. And Kuhn came over and had Bobby Bregan with him, and I forget who else. And I was at a luncheon with him, and informally got to talk with him quite a lot. I was well impressed.
I got to know Kuhn very well. He settled down in my hometown in New Jersey. That's how I got to know him quite well. And I talked to him about several things, and he was well schooled before he took that job, much more so than any other commissioner. He worked in the commissioner's office.
I know.
And he was a brilliant lawyer himself. Now he's gone out and make some money.
Yeah, there were rumors that he would like to buy a major league franchise.
Well, he'd like to do it. He'd like to do it. He's like to do it. I mean, he was dedicated to the game, and well, I guess the general we had for the commissioner was, you can take veterans and you can take veterans.
I don't know how they did that.
Well, that was a Ricky deal.
Yeah.
No, that was a deal. That was an O'Malley deal.
O'Malley.
Swung that deal.
Ford Frick was fair, I guess. Not outstanding, anyway.
Frick was in there a long time. He didn't have, there wasn't too many problems during Frick's day.
No. He didn't get to prove whether he could handle it or not.
That's right.
This new guy, Ubaroff, may be a pretty good fellow in there, I hope, anyway.
Well, he'll be the first commissioner, I'm only assuming this, that might be on the county side. He did a fantastic job in the Olympics, which needed a little corny or promotional. I'd probably use the word corny. I'd use the word promotional.
That sounds like
a good idea. He did a fantastic job in the attendance and
No doubt.
So you have to wait to see what's on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate you taking this time to chat with me, Johnny, and I want to wish you all the best.
Well, baseball was good to me. Gave me my start. Gave me my second start. Actually, it was through my second start, but I got my second start through baseball.
Yeah.
I'm basically a retired brewery man, not a baseball player.
Yeah.
But the point is that baseball is good to me, and I'll never knock it.
It's great.
I'll never knock it, but I want to see the day that Ernie Lombardi gets in the Hall of Fame.
I'd like to think that's going to be real soon.
And I'll be there.
Yeah, great. I have been up to the last two summers, I've been to the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown there, but not at the time they had the induction. I'd like to be there sometime when they induct.
Well, I was there when they dedicated it. Two players from each club.
Yeah, in 38.
38. Yeah. 38. Two players from each club.
Terry Moore was there, too.
Yeah, two players from each club. Ron was supposed to go with me.
And he stepped on, we were getting ready to go to the train.
And he stepped on a board in the shower room and went up and nailed up his foot for Jimmy Wilson, who was a coach.
Jimmy really came through After he thought he was retired in the 40 series, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did the job in the series.
Yeah,
no question about it.
Yeah, that had to be done, and he did it. He had good leadership qualities.
Yep.
All right, we'll turn it off.